Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to rethink transportation. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Good news for consumers. Online brokerage firms are cutting their trading commissions.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. If you trade stocks online, here's some good news. Two brokerage firms, Fidelity Investments and Charles Schwab, have cut their online trading commissions for both stocks and exchange-traded funds. Fidelity cut commissions from $7.95 to $4.95, and Schwab matched that lower price soon after. Joining us to talk about the commission cuts is Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Krauss. Sarah, customers have been more focused than ever before on trading costs, and isn't this a way for brokerages to capture more business?
It absolutely is. Definitely the economics of investing overall are coming down. You've seen fund firms slash the fees that they charge to manage your money. And this is sort of another frontier of that conversation. It's really the brokerages duking it out to try to gather assets.
And this is especially true of exchange-traded funds or ETFs, which have become more and more popular?
Absolutely. Passive investing overall has definitely become more popular, and ETFs trade on exchanges like stocks. And so by applying these price cuts to stocks and ETFs, that's another way to get a piece of that action as investors flock to those types of products.
Haven't attempts at these price cuts been happening for several years?
They have. I mean, really going back to the 90s when the online brokerage boom sort of first started, you had some competition on price. In 2010, there were other reductions, but this is sort of the latest phase of that battle. And what's interesting about this is actually earlier this month, Charles Schwab had reduced its commissions to $6.95 per trade. Fidelity came out at $4.95, and literally within hours, Schwab had matched that. So this is sort of that flurry of activity where one goes low and then the other tries to match. And Schwab has said it wants to be the leader on price, and it wants to take that off the table when investors are deciding what to do.
And Sarah, this happens at Fidelity as the company is engaging in other changes.
Absolutely. I mean, the same day that this announcement was made, the company also started delivering notices to employees that it was offering a buyout for older workers and longer tenured workers. So that applies to about 3,000 or more than 6% of its workforce that it's offering voluntary buyouts to. So you see that there are sort of changing economics are changing how these companies operate.
What about other brokerages such as TD Ameritrade and E-Trade? Are they cutting their commissions?
They have not matched this. In general, they have held steady and said, you know, we believe that selecting your brokerage firm is about more than just price. And we have all these value adds such as planning tools and research and, you know, trade execution, that type of stuff. They're saying there's more to this equation than just price. So I don't know that all firms are going to come to this level.
I'm speaking with Sarah Krauss of The Wall Street Journal, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from one of our sponsors, Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to launch innovative transportation solutions, including its carpooling option, Uber Pool, and enable a world on the move. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Sarah, aren't these reductions in commissions a bid to lure cost-conscious millennials?
Yes, millennials are part of this conversation. Younger investors are keenly focused on price, and that's something that Fidelity has stated overtly was part of this decision, an attempt to gather assets. And millennials are part of what's driving those flows that we discussed into exchange-traded funds. Those funds typically come at lower costs. They have some tax and trading advantages, and they've been popular among younger investors.
Well, I imagine this is also an attempt at market share. What's the biggest online brokerage at this point?
That's a trickier one than it sounds at face value. There are a lot of sort of large players, Schwab, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, E-Trade. They are all quite large in that space. It depends on the sort of metrics that you want to splice to determine who is the biggest by trading volumes or by assets, et cetera. So that's a trickier one than it sounds.
You mentioned asset management firms. What is the difference between asset management firms and brokerage firms, online brokerage firms? How do they work together?
Sure, that's a good question. So at Fidelity, for example, they have a very large money management business. So that offers funds for sale. It manages the money that you're investing in funds. The brokerage side of the business is where you go to buy and sell those funds. So it's sort of like a fund supermarket, for lack of a better word. So one is the actual management of the investments. The other is where it's sold.
And you mentioned in your piece that asset management firms that provide the funds brokerage sell have equally been aggressive about pulling down fees. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. I mean, really over the last few years, particularly as passive or index tracking funds have become more popular, the economics of that business has changed quite a bit as well, where you've seen a growing number of funds sort of cut their fees or try to undercut each other with rock bottom prices to gain assets, particularly passive funds that offer exposure to broad swaths of the market. So there's sort of this commoditized corner of the investing world where if it's plain vanilla stock or bond exposure, the prices are sinking faster, ever faster towards zero, really. I mean, the number of funds that you can invest in for 10 basis points a year or less has really swelled in the last few years.
Have exchange-traded funds surpassed stocks as far as the most popular vehicles for investors? They've definitely become more popular.
They have definitely become more popular, but when you think about the total volume outstanding in the U.S. stock market and what retail investors hold therein, they still have the lead.
Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Krauss, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
Make us part of your daily commute. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.